All Roads Lead to Rome, Part 5. From 5doves.com. Written by Pastor Bob, 7 September 2014. Read by Dave Ridley, with possible mispronunciations here and there. All Doves. So much of our world today is little more than smoke and mirror theater, designed to confuse, deceive, and distract the public from the reality that is masked by propaganda. The reader needs to be aware that you and I are both the prize and the victim of the coming Jesuit-controlled one-world order. Our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the safest place we can be is in Christ. The master of propaganda advertising was an Austrian by the name of Edward Bernay, recognized by the business world as the author of public relations. And back in 1928, he wrote a book, History is a Weapon, which lays out his work on propaganda. When he died in 1995, his obituary named him the father of public relations. It was required reading in one of my courses in college as a history major. It is so popular that anyone can access it freely today on the internet. Bernay combined the ideas of crowd psychology and, along with the psychoanalytical ideas of his uncle Sigmund Freud. He was once named one of the most influential 100 Americans of the 20th century by Life magazine. This man influences you today, despite your not knowing it. If you watch television, read a magazine, a newspaper, or pop up on your computer, you have been touched by Edward Bernays' work. The low-information people of the world are often referred to as sheeple, which is a generic blanket term used to describe the manipulated. He developed and refined the concept of the press release and took credit for breaking the cultural taboo of women smoking in public. I mention Edward Bernays as an example of what has been taking place in the press and media since May of this year. You may have noticed the drumbeat of the press, politicians, and corporate types calling for war with Russia in the Ukraine. The Obama administration has lied repeatedly about the need to crush Russia in the Ukraine. Between the EU, NATO, and the USA, being spearheaded by Obama, they want war. They are trying to provoke a war for which they can blame it on the Russians and Mr. Putin. They have tried to pin the blame for the downing of the Malaysian commercial jet over Ukrainian space on Russia and Eastern Ukraine rebels, saying that it was shot down by a Russian ground-to-air missile, when in reality, after examination of the wreckage debris, it was confirmed that it was shot down by a Ukrainian fighter jet with an air-to-air missile and 30-millimeter bullet holes in the forward portion of the commercial jet. Then on several occasions they published news reports that Russian combat units had crossed over the border into Ukraine. In fact, they even put video on television for the public to believe that these attacks were real, when in fact they were nothing more than footage from a video game. The plain and simple facts are that the EU, NATO, and the USA want to start a war with Russia, and Vladimir Putin has refused to take their bait in the traps being baited and set for him and the state of Russia. As of a few days ago, Russian leaders set for a peace treaty plan for the eastern portion of the Ukraine, now in dispute. The EU, NATO, and Obama has disingenuously responded by offering more sanctions against the Russians, and they are assembling a military contingent of 10,000 quick or rapid response force element to be used at a time when they deem appropriate to attack the eastern Ukraine. All this war rhetoric is going to end badly because sanctions will be met with counter-sanctions, etc., etc. The international banksters are driving the propaganda rhetoric to bring on the Third World War, visioned by Masonic Grand Master Albert Pike. In response to the West's tightening the screws on Putin, Putin warned the West as they were meeting for strategy meetings in Wales over the Labor Day week. Putin put out the message, reminding the EU, NATO, and the West not to mess with Russia, and to remind them that Russia has nuclear weapons, huge nukes, and as a last resort, they would use them if pushed into a corner. Just after Labor Day, Putin dumped into the public media the evidence and deaths of who was really responsible for the infamous September 11th World Trade Tower attacks. The information in that report, which I provided in the link in my post, All Secrets Known, notes the passage in the Bible where we are explicitly told that all things hidden will be exposed in the end of days. I'm suggesting to the reader that once the report becomes known far and wide in the greater public arena, this could become the chief reason the world turns against Israel, as the Bible notes in several places. It will so anger the Christian community, which is made up of many different groups that support Israel, sometimes blindly so. And for those that did not like Israel before, this news will simply be more bad news, with sovereign states becoming more incensed to learn that Israel, with the U.S. and U.K. approval, are complicit and responsible for the several thousand that died that day and continue to die as a result of being poisoned by radioactive fallout from the inhaled dust that resulted in the vaporization of the World Trade Towers. The consequence of Vladimir Putin releasing the truth, previously classified as state secrets until this release, about who was responsible for 9/11, may precipitate further sanctions by the EU, NATO, USA, ratcheting up the tension. It may be the fuse that sets off the entire chain of events that lead to the Ezekiel 39 war scenario. We know from the Bible what happens to Gog and Magog, but we have no indication of what happens to its opponents responsible for destroying Gog and Magog. From the perspective of Russia, it would be a natural response, if not a given, to expect Russia to retaliate with nukes as a last resort. Vladimir Putin is waging a counterattack by asymmetrical warfare. I monitor a website that shows in real time cyber attacks against the U.S. and the country's computer systems. It should be noted that it also shows cyber attacks by the USA as well. The state secret that Vladimir Putin released last week are an indictment of the George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush administration, and are an indictment of the State of Israel, as well as a number of countries that benefited from their corruption and evil acts. Revelation 9:18 describes what would most likely be a nuclear exchange war that will destroy one-third of human life on Earth. All this is prefatory history that really speaks to who really is behind the big picture of using war to bring about a final holy war that will bring into existence a satanic one world order. What I share in this series is easily discerned once you know and understand who it is that was originally revealed in the writings of the Masonic Grand Master, Albert Pike, in the 19th century. Very few outsiders know about the intimate plans of Albert Pike and the architects of the New World Order. Based upon a vision revealed to him, Albert Pike wrote a blueprint of events that would play themselves out in the 20th century, with more of these events to come. But first, a little background on Albert Pike. Albert Pike was born in Boston, Massachusetts on December 29, 1809. He studied at Harvard and later served as a brigadier general in the Confederate Army. After the Civil War, he was found guilty of treason and jailed, only to be pardoned by fellow Freemason President Andrew Johnson on April 22, 1866, who met with him the next day at the White House. On June 20, 1867, Scottish Rite officials conferred on President Johnson the 4th to 32nd Freemasonry degrees, and then later that day Pike went on to Boston to dedicate a Masonic temple. From everything we know about Albert Pike, he was brilliant, a genius, able to read and write in 16 different languages. At various stages of his life, he was a poet, philosopher, frontiersman, soldier, humanitarian, and philanthropist. As a 33rd degree Freemason, he was one of the founding fathers and head of the ancient accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, being the Grand Commander of North American Freemasonry from 1859 until his death in 1891. Leaders of Freemasonry will deny it, but evidence has long since been known that Pike was a top leader in the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, or KKK. Albert Pike was a Satanist, dabbled in the occult realm, and he apparently possessed a bracelet which he used to summon Lucifer, with whom he had constant communications. It's incidental whether one believes that or not, but it is reported by many different scholars that have spent their careers researching Pike. He was the Grand Master of a Luciferian group known as the Order of the Palladium, Sovereign Council of Wisdom, which had been founded in Paris in 1737. Palladism had been brought to Greece from Egypt by philosopher and mathematician Pythagoras in the 5th century, and it was the cult of Satan that was introduced to the inner circle of the Masonic lodges. It was aligned with the Palladism of the Templars. In 1801, Isaac Long, a Jew, bought a statue of Baphomet, Satan, to Charleston, South Carolina, where he helped to establish the ancient and accepted Scottish rite with Pike. Long apparently chose Charleston, South Carolina, because it was geographically located on the 33rd parallel of latitude, as is Baghdad, Iraq. And this council is considered to be the Mother Supreme Council of all Masonics in America. While some scholars say it is for the entire world, I would not agree. Tim Cohen, author of Antichrist in a Cup of Tea, says the world's senior lodge is the Order of the Garter in Wales. The Order of the Garter in Wales, where Prince Charles and his son William are installed as members of the Knights of the Round Table. All Masons report to the lodge known as the Order of the Garter. I have included Tim Cohen's book on the running bibliography below. Keep in mind my note from the last post that the Jesuits infiltrated Freemasonry right from the beginning. There was a grand merger of Illuminized Freemasonry and Vatican Jesuits set up by the Jesuits on June 29, 1963, and known as the Masters of the Illuminati. Now deceased, Jesuit Friar Malachi Martin reported this event in one or two of his books. Albert Pike was Isaac Long's successor, and he changed the name of the order to the New and Reformed Palladian Rite, or Reformed Palladium. It isn't necessary to go into the various degrees of Freemasonry at this point, other than to note that it is in the 19th degree of Freemasonry that one finds out who the God of Freemasonry is. None other than the adversary himself, Lucifer. As part of the ritual in Masonry, as a person chooses to rise in the lodge, the initiate is always asked, what is it that they are seeking? And their response is always to be, more light. Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, the Masonic Bible, is given to every lodge member and is to be returned on the death of the lodge brother. Because it doesn't always happen, copies often appear in bookstores. Pastor Mike Hoggard of the Watchman Video Broadcast acquired his copy that way. I got mine through the death of an uncle. Pike's right-hand man was Phileas Walder from Switzerland, who was a former Lutheran clergyman, a Masonic leader, occultist, and spiritualist. Pike worked closely with Giuseppe Mazzini of Italy, 1805 to 1872, who was a 33rd degree Mason, and who became the head of the Illuminati in 1834, and who also founded the Mafia in 1860. Together with Mazzini, Lord Henry Palmerston of England, 1784 through 1865, a 33rd degree Mason, and Otto von Bismarck from Germany, 1815 to 1898, a 33rd degree Mason, Albert Pike intended to use the Palladium Rite to create a satanic umbrella group that would tie all Masonic groups together. In the United States, every state has a Grand Lodge that oversees the local lodges in communities within their state. They are everywhere in the country. I currently live in a small village in a rural county, and the county seat has a lodge directly across the street from where I get a haircut. The important point to remember is that not all Masonic Lodge members are satanic or evil. In most cases, they are there merely for the contacts the fraternity brings and what they can use to enhance their own contacts and business activities. Freemasonry is much more than a secret society of secrets. It's a society with secrets, as S. Brent Morris expresses it in his formal capacity as consultant to the History Channel documentaries on Freemasonry. The reader would benefit by examining this 33rd degree, high-ranking Freemason's bio vitae on the Internet. Masons never allow the name of Jesus Christ to be expressed within the lodge. You can be a Mason even if you're a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim. Just never mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lodge. Their God is referred to as the great architect of the universe. Masonry is built on a dualistic structure, and their motto is, "Do what thou will." More about all that at another time. Wherever I have been an appointed United Methodist pastor to a local church, it was only a matter of months before I would be approached and invited to a lodge breakfast, usually hosted at another church, where the pastor was a lodge brother, to introduce me to the good works the lodge does, and to interest me in becoming a Mason. The person that invited me usually was a church member, and they would offer to sponsor me in joining the lodge I was interested in joining. The organizations say they don't recruit, but that is nothing but a deception. The lodge today recruits the brightest mind of the Greek fraternities on college and university campuses today. Having members of the clergy as lodge brothers gives an informal image of tacit approval, and thus take advance of the credulity of people. My impression is that they do not give up easily when it comes to recruiting a pastor or a clergyman. They don't take no for an answer and come back again and again within the year when they have their next recruiting breakfast. Albert Pike died on April 2, 1891 and was buried in Oak Hill Cemetery, although the corpse of Pike currently lies in the headquarters of the Council of the 33rd Degree of Scottish Rite of Freemasonry in Washington, D.C. Albert Pike made his mark before the war in Arkansas as a lawyer and writer, but as a Confederate Brigadier General, one star, according to the Arkansas Democrat of July 31st, 1978, he was a complete washout, not a hero. That fact notwithstanding, General Albert Pike is the only Confederate general with a statue on U.S. federal property in Washington, D.C. I'll give you three guesses as to why this is so. He was honored as the Southern Regional Leader of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. The statue stands on a granite pedestal near the foot of Capitol Hill between the Department of Labor building and the Municipal building between the 3rd and 4th streets on D Street Northwest. I'm going to shift focus here and take the reader back to the era of the hatched plan of the Illuminati at the 1782 Congress of Wilhelmsbad, the point at which the idea of a one-world order was conceived. Adam Weishaupt, 1748 to 1811, formed the Order of Perfectibalists on May 1, 1776, May Day, and observed throughout the world by anarchists, communists, and revolutionaries alike. Adam Weishaupt, a Jew, was a Jesuit that taught canon church law at the University of Ingolstadt. The name was changed to the Illuminati, meaning the Enlightened Ones. In this era, this era in history is referred to as the period of the Enlightenment. Unfortunately, public schools long ago whitewashed the term and gave the impression It was a time of great cultural advancement and intellectual freedom. All that I post in this series is relevant and important to understanding the central idea of this series of posts, that all roads lead to Rome. The Illuminati was founded under the pretext to provide a forum for the free exchange of ideas, but Weishaupt's Jesuit background influenced both the background, character, and direction of the Illuminati, such that the expressed dominant aim of the order became to abolish Protestant Christianity and overturn all civil government. As I note this, I am reminded of a story on The Wire, September 3rd of 2014, about the fact that Pope Francis made a statement that has angered many of his constituency. He tweeted a statement that angered Christians in general. Such a statement, even to Roman Catholics, was controversial, but even more, it reflected the Pope's ignorance of the Bible in related statements about distinctions between Christians and Catholics. The exact words of his tweet were, quote, "The Christian who does not feel that the Virgin Mary is his or her mother is an orphan," unquote. An Italian revolutionary leader, Giuseppe Mazzini, 1805 to 1872, a 33rd degree Mason, was selected by the Illuminati to head their worldwide organization in 1834. Keep in mind, Mazzini founded the Mafia in 1860. It's not to tell you what kind of a character he was. Because of his revolutionary activities in Europe, the Bavarian government, Germany, cracked down on the Illuminati and other secret societies for allegedly plotting a massive overthrow of Europe's monarchies. As the Illuminati's secrets were revealed, they were persecuted and eventually disbanded, only to reestablish themselves inside the other organizations of which Freemasonry was the key fraternity, to host the parasitic worm of the Illuminati. During Mazzini's leadership, he enticed Albert Pike into the now formerly disbanded but still operating Illuminati. Pike was fascinated by the idea of a one-world government, and when asked by Mazzini, he readily agreed to write a ritual that guided the transition from average high-ranking Masons into a top-ranking Illuminati Mason, 33rd degree. Masonic degrees above the 32nd are extended only by an invitation. The lower degrees are granted by classes and tuition fees. Since Mazzini also wanted Pike to head the Illuminati's American chapter, he clearly felt Pike was worthy of such a task. Mazzini's intention was that once a Mason had made his way up the Freemason ladder and proven himself worthy, the highest-ranking members would offer their membership to the society within a society. During this process, the higher-degree Masons would observe and assess the loyalty of those seeking more light. It is precisely this reason that most Freemasons vehemently deny the evil intentions of their fraternity. Since the vast majority never reach the 30th degree, most only complete the first 3 degrees of the Blue Lodge, they would not be aware of the real purpose behind Masonry. When instructing Pike how the rituals should be developed, Mazzini wrote a letter explaining why extreme secrecy was to be maintained between the Lodge and its different degrees system. The letter was dated January 22, 1870, and is well known to its content today. The key point is to remember that Freemasonry wasn't started by Pike. Rather, it was infiltrated by the Illuminati, i.e. Jesuits, who were looking for respectability in a forum in which to hide their clandestine activities. Pike, as a Satanist, became the individual that reorganized it, wrote its degree system of hierarchy. While every Mason is given a copy of Pike's Masonic Bible, Morals and Dogma, few ever read it. It's a good treatment for insomnia. After Mazzini's death on March 11, 1872, Albert Pike appointed Adriano Lemmy, 1822 to 1896, a 33rd degree Mason and a banker from Florence, Italy, to run their subversive activities in Europe. Lemmy was a supporter of patriot and revolutionary Giuseppe Garibaldi, and may have been active in the Luciferian Society founded by Pike. Lemmy, in turn, was succeeded by Lenin and Trotsky, then by Stalin. The revolutionary activities of all these men were financed by British, French, German, and American international bankers, all of them dominated by the House of Rothschild. In addition to the Supreme Council in Charleston, S.C., Pike went on to establish 23 Supreme Councils throughout the world. In a future post, I will cover the interesting background to the selection of Washington, D.C. to be the capital of the USA. The property that made up the 10-square-mile area known as the District of Columbia was donated to George Washington's federal government by the Daniel Carroll family and brother of the Roman Catholic bishop, the Roman Catholic Jesuit bishop, John Carroll, who also founded the renowned Jesuit Georgetown University. The property known as the District of Columbia was recorded in 1663 in Maryland property records as New Rome. The specific property was owned by a John Pope, later acquired by the Daniel Carroll family. Incidentally, Rome is built on seven hills described in Revelation, Revelation 17, 1 through 9, and 18. But it might surprise you that Washington, D.C., once called New Rome, is also built on seven hills. They are Capitol Hill, Meridian Hill, Floral Hills, Forest Hills, Hillbrook, Hillcrest, Knox Hill. In biblical prophecy, at the end of which the city of Seven Hills will be destroyed, will this city be Rome or Washington, D.C.? Makes you wonder. It is not conspiracy theory that Washington, D.C. was founded by Jesuits and Freemasons. It is a stone fact of history of Freemasonry. It is a well-known Masonic fact that George Washington himself was a Freemason, as were 25 of his Revolutionary Army generals were as well. Mayor Charles Pierre L'Enfant, a French Catholic and Freemason, designed the layout of the city. Tupper Southey, in his book Rulers of Evil, traced early property plot records and discovered the survey plot number for the White House was originally lot number 666, located at the base of the upside-down Baphomet symbol visible only from the air above the White House. If you are a skeptic, you can access this book on the internet and read it for yourself. Jesuits and Freemasons are deeply involved in the ongoing relationship between Washington, D.C., the Vatican in Rome, and the Crown at London, England. These three cities are all independent city-states. Google to see the flag for the District of Columbia. The flag contains three stars above two red bars against a white background. This was said to have been taken from General Washington's coat of arms by the designer himself and later led to the adoption of the flag in 1938. Keep in mind that within Freemasonry, things, symbols, signs, objects often hide their true meanings, and while often have hidden dual meanings, they are in plain sight, hidden in plain sight. President George Washington was a deist and supposedly a member of the Church of England, but Catholic websites claim that on his deathbed he converted to Roman Catholicism. According to the website www.catholicism.org, President Washington sent one of his slaves across the Potomac to bring back his friend Father Leonard Neal, S.J. Jesuit Father Neal spent some time alone in his room. When he returned to the Jesuit house, his fellow religious brothers asked him the outcome of his visit, and he simply answered, "Everything has been taken care of." The entire story is related in the Jesuit annals. The Negro slaves, who had been imbued with Baptist and anti-Catholic bigotry, passed on the story that Master George has been seduced by the Scarlet Woman of Rome. Our first president had always kept a beautiful picture of Our Lady in his living room. He adopted the Catholic practice of blessing himself before meals. He was the largest contributor, giving more than even Bishop Carroll to the building of St. Augustine's Church in Philadelphia. He very often attended Mass, and he often told his troops that if they did not refrain from abusing the holy name of Jesus, they would surely lose the war. In part 6, I will deal with Albert Pike's vision of the three world wars that would be required to wear out the nations of the world, and that they would, out of exhaustion and debt from war, surrender and submit to the New World Order. I know that most of this material on All Roads Lead to Rome will be new to the reader, but it is documented history. It is an ongoing testimony that Rome never changes. They were determined to crush the Reformation and restore the temporal power the Catholic Church lost as a result of that little chubby monk Martin Luther. And now he discovered in the Greek text that we are all justified by faith. Remember this event that set off the One World Order. It's not really a New World Order, but rather the Old World Order repackaged. Ironically, I visited the historical site in 1958 near Hanau, Germany, where the 1782 Congress of Wilhelmsbad was held. I had an army buddy that had been a librarian at the Library of Congress before being drafted into the military, but originally from my hometown in Pittsburgh, PA. He was Catholic and had also been a history major in college and a graduate school. We would go castle and medieval church touring on the weekends. When we were not on duty, I was the designated driver since I was not a consumer of alcoholic beverages. He paid for lunch and I did the driving. We were stationed at Giessen, Germany, 70 miles north of Hanau. Castle was touring a fun event for off-duty GIs. We drove one fall Saturday morning down to the old castle ruins where the 1782 Congress of Wilhelmsbad was originally convened by the founder Adam Weishaupt and other Masonic leaders. The castle was the summer home of Wilhelm, heir to the Hohenzollern, a district close to the city of Hanau, Germany. It was decades later before I realized how important this site played in the Illuminati's plan for a one-world government. Because the House of Rothschild has been the fiduciary agent of the Vatican for 2 centuries, I thought readers might be interested in the Rothschild Manifesto of circa 1840. 1. Law is force in disguise. Use law. Statutory law, codes, regulations. 2. Political freedom is an idea, not a fact, and is merely an illusion and distraction. 3. Use liberalism to obtain control via gradualism through education. Think of outcome-based education that has been used for more than 20 years, and then Common Core today to dumb down America's students. 4. Governments are to be destroyed either by external war or internal liberalism and corruption means. 5. We must get control over all government economies by controlling the money supply, central banking, Federal Reserve System. 6. The end always justifies the means. Always. 7. Force and might equals right. There are no absolute moral or ethical codes, no biblical law. 8. We have the right to reconstitute all existing institutions. 9. We will become supreme lords over all people. 10. The power of money must remain hidden and secret until we are in such a position of power that no one can stop our plan. Fractional reserve banking and debt-based paper currency. 11. We must use alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, gambling, all vices and moral corruption to destroy the youth of all nations. 12. We have the right to seize any and all property by whatever means necessary to bring all people under our control. Merger of admiralty, maritime law, and equity law. Abolishing the common law, corruption and registration of title, property taxes. 13. We will use the terms liberty, equality, and fraternity, which will establish a new aristocracy. French Revolution, liberty, equality, and fraternity is the Masonic motto. 14. The qualifications for this aristocracy will be wealth, which we will control. 15. Wars will be instigated, financed, and directed so that we control both sides, placing all parties further into our debt. Think of all wars from the Revolutionary War through today and the coming World War III. 16. Candidates for public office will be selected, educated, and groomed, servile and obedient. 17. We will control all major outlets of media and information. 18. Engineered financial panics and controlled depressions will bring about our new world order. Meyer M. Shell Rothschild also stated in the late 18th century, "Give me control of a nation's currency, and I do not care who makes the laws." Bibliography. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma. Jim Shaw, The Deadly Deception. Tupper Southey, Rulers of Evil. John Eric Phillips, Vatican Assassins. John Daniel, The Grand Design Exposed. Ralph Epperson, Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity. Ralph Epperson, The Hidden Hand. Jurij Lina, Architects of Deception. Jurij Lina, Under the Sign of the Scorpion. John Daniel, Scarlet and the Beast. Not the same as John Daniel above. The Millenari, Shroud of Secrecy. Bill Hughes, The Enemy Unmasked. Bill Hughes, The Secret Terrorists. James Billington, Fire in the Eyes of Men. Noah Webster, World Revolution. Albert Mackey, Secret Destiny of America. William Still, New World Order. Modern History Project, The Freemasons. Albert Hoffman, Usury in Christendom, The Moral Sin That Was and Now Is Not. Tim Cohen, Antichrist in a Cup of Tea. Ronald McDonald and Robert Rowan, They Own It All, Including You. Eustace Mullins, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. G. Edward Griffin, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Chris Pinto, The Society of Jesus, Their Moral Maxims and Plots, audio CD. While all of this may seem rather hopeless, I merely remind you that we do hope it comes in the form of the blessed hope of our coming Lord Jesus Christ. It is only hopeless for those who have rejected the gospel message. Unfortunately, the low-information folks will either choose to dismiss the truth of God's word, backed up by the history of Satan's plan that will subject everyone alive to receive the mark of the beast. God told us history in advance. Prophecy is nothing more than history foretold of what would come to pass. For the purpose of our believing in him and to receive his redemptive plan by faith through grace. Think about this, you pre-wrath, rapture Babel folks. If God was going to force the last days church to go through the 7-year tribulation, why would he have even bothered to have his prophets and the apostles and Paul of Tarsus go to such length, depth, and detail writing about the end of days, if it was not to warn us, the final generation, to be in Christ? The entire Bible is a parable and a theme about deliverance of those willing to trust him by faith, 100.1%. The theme is deliverance before judgment. Baruch Hashem, blessed be the name of the Lord. God does not lie, man may, but his word is truth. God bless, Pastor Bob. Unquote. End of part 5 of All Roads Lead to Rome.